This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we are going over Love Take Two. So we're giving you all the spoilers, and if you don't want to know what happens in Love Take Two, just pass on this one and we will see you next time. Are you ready for one to the direct keys?
You want me to do it again? See if you get inspired?
No.
Okay, great.
No, I think we should just keep the badness in there. I think we got to be real. Got to be true.
I love the real truth of it all. Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy, irreverent love letter to Hallmark movies, a Hallmark romance movie recap podcast hosted by the ultimate queen of reality TV watching, Tamara Cosio.
And I'm with my mobile mover and shaker, magical behind the mic co-host, Corinne Edding.
Woo! I do have a magical behind. Thank you.
I said magical behind the mic. But I mean, you know what? Now that you say that, that's also fair. Fair magical behind. Just see what I did there? I said you're mobile and mover and a shaker because you've had a week moving offices.
Oh.
So I was like, I did that with you in mind. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wow, you're awesome. I said what I said with you in mind because you used to watch a lot of the Kardashians.
I did. Early on, and then they just got too fake. Mm. I started watching Queer Eye again, and I do enjoy that.
Yes.
It's my favorite. It's like my get ready in the morning, putting on my makeup, background noise that just picks up my day and puts it in the right direction.
Yeah. I know. I started watching the new Marie Kondo show to give me a little pick-me-up. It's Queer Eye adjacent.
She has a new show?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She has a new... Oh.
She.
Oh, I watched the first like season a couple years back. Oh, I liked her show. I'm going to have to check that out.
So her new show is like what she did in her first show, but this one is where she's helping business owners.
Ooh, yeah. I like that twist.
Yeah. No, it's really good. Love it. The other night I was like, I need to watch something soothing stat. And I turned on Marie Kondo and I was like, you are balm for my soul.
So enough about us.
Yes.
Do you have a synopsis for Love Take Two?
Love, comma, Take Two. Well, coincidentally, Tamara, I actually do. This is artisanally crafted. Lily, a super cute Latina woman with long brown hair with loose big ringlets and a beautiful smile, is the producer for the reality show Wedding Countdown. Her personal style is a cute skinny slack along with a nice blouse. They are going to be shooting a season of the show in Pineville, California, the town of her college alma mater, and also the town where she met her college sweetheart, Scott. Scott is a super cute black man with very close-cut hair with clean edges, a ridiculous smile that'll make just about anyone swoon, and his personal style is dark jeans with a belt with a nice tee or button-down shirt. They've been broken up for some time now, but unbeknownst to her, he has moved back to Pineville. Will their paths cross? Will there be a countdown to a wedding? Will both of them, with their beautiful smiles, banish darkness forever from Pineville? Stay tuned to find out!
Banish darkness forever. Yes, yes, they will.
Yeah, I'm asking all the hard-hitting questions.
As you should.
Speaking of questions that you might have answers to, do you have any fun facts for us, other than the fact that Pineville is totally not a real place in California?
So I have many a fun fact, found some good tidbits. I got a few fun facts about Heather Hemans from TVOverMind.com and IMDb.
Is she the person who played Lily? Because I did not say the actor's
name
at all. That was my bad.
Yes. Heather Hemans, who plays Lily.
And the male lead, who is Scott.
Cornelius Smith Jr.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for covering my ass.
Well, I mean, I didn't say who it was. People are like, who's Heather? Is there a Heather in this movie? I think we covered each other's ass. Aww. Very nicely. Heather Hemans, who plays Lily, grew up in Maine, in real life, in a house with no electricity.
Whoa.
Which I found in Maine, right? Ah. Oh my God. Like, that must have been some hard winters.
Ooh, you know they kept that wood stove going. Jesus Christ.
I know. on the wood stove, like probably the size of a Volkswagen, I imagine. And her mother is Costa Rican and her father's African American, but she identifies herself as Latina, but doesn't speak Spanish. My girl. I also have to say that she is, her mother is Costa Rican, and I just wanted to do a fun fact on Corinne, that Corinne went to Costa Rica once upon a time, and conversely, because she went on that trip, knows more Spanish than me. So, if ever we need an interpreter, I will default to Corinne, and she will be the translator between us two.
Very bad interpreter, but we'll get enough of the job
done. Better than
done.
Me. Hence the my girl, because Heather doesn't speak Spanish either. She's a black belt in martial arts and weapons training. So basically, she's a badass bitch.
Yes.
And her fallback plan, if her acting career didn't take off, was going to be a teacher, which I think is so endearing.
Aww.
And she disclosed in an interview that her fifth grade teacher was and still is her mentor, and she would have loved to be just like her, molding young minds. And enormously good fun fact that I found and squealed a little bit when I saw this is that she will be starring opposite my boo, Luke McFarlane, this year for a music-centric Hallmark movie called Christmas in My Heart.
No.
And if Luke McFarlane's going to be in it, it's going to be in my heart, Christmas in My Heart, and Christmas in My Pants.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, just my heart. That's
you just said Luke McFarlane's name and everything else fell away and I was just having a moment.
But Luke McFarlane and Heather, oh my God, that's going to be like the best. I'm like so excited for that.
I really liked her energy. She had really good energy in this movie.
I know. And then I'm like, oh, a mashup with my Luke. Oh, I can just picture it now. Hold on. Give me a second. Oh, wait, I can't do that right now. Right. We're doing a podcast. You can't have a private moment, Tamara. Focus. And then I had a harder time finding some fun facts about Cornelius Smith Jr., who plays Scott. I got these from DuJour.com and TVGuide.com. He was born an Army kid and actually born in Camp Pendleton, San Diego, which is just a skip, hop, and a jump down the way for me. But he grew up mostly in Detroit, Michigan, because he was an Army kid. So, of course, they move around a lot. He had a singing group in Detroit called Chapter 2. I wonder what they sounded like, because it was for sure the 90s, and I'm totally picturing, like, Jodeci.
Oh my
like
gosh.
Like a Jodeci vibe.
You know they were wearing Z Cavaricis and the tiny sunglasses.
Or like the vest with no t-shirts underneath. And mind you, it's Chapta, like Chapta, C-H-A-P-T-A, not Chapter. So you know they were wearing like silk vest with no shirts. Chapta says silk vests, no shirts, tiny glasses, and baggy pants all day long.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
I know. The visuals.
That's like all you needed ever for the fun facts. Oh my gosh.
And then last fun fact is he was kicked out of SMU after a hazing incident, but wrote a play about it afterwards called Frey. And I believe he did that towards his either master's degree or doctoral degree. I'm not sure. I didn't write that down. Bad Tamara. Anyways, but that is the gist of my fun facts.
Ooh, I love them. Thank you.
I did a lot of research. Very proud of those. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, beautiful Los Angeles. Shoreline for miles. And reality shows. Yes. Los Angeles, home to many a reality show, including the one that Lily produces, Wedding Countdown. And shh, quiet on the set, because we get to see a scene from it right now. We see a big white mansion with three couples standing on the second floor balcony. The women are in beautiful, unique to them wedding dresses,
and the guys and the men.
Oh, they're polyamorous. Right on.
And the men of the two white couples have on traditional black tuxes, but the man of the black couple has on a sweet dark gray tux instead. Excellent choice. There is a blonde woman in a blue dress standing off to the side. She has a platter with three tiny chests on it, one for each couple. Harvey Barron, the host of the show, says, "Each couple has had 2 weeks and $15,000 to plan their dream wedding. You've gotten to follow them on their journey and see the celebration of their love. Every aspect of their wedding has been judged, and now the votes are in. Who will win the grand prize, $50,000? the couples look at their partners excitedly, hoping that they will be the one. We now see Harvey Baron, the host, for the first time. He's downstairs, walking out of the grand entrance of the mansion. Cherry blossom flowers wind up the beautiful spiral staircase behind him, and cherry blossom branches flank him on both sides as he walks out onto the majestic porch. He's wearing a slate.
This movie was cherry blossom heavy, I do have to say that. You are capturing it beautifully.
I think that the way they indicate spring is cherry blossoms. Is this movie in the spring? Cherry blossoms.
What time of the year is it? Cherry blossoms!
Cherry blossoms! He's wearing a slate blue suit. A slate blue suit and a steel blue tie. He continues in a voice hushed in anticipation. It all comes down to this final moment. Each couple will receive a box, and the one couple that finds the wedding bell of love in their box and rings it will have won our grand prize of $50,000. The camera cuts back to the woman in the blue dress, bringing the platter by each couple as they pick the box closest to them. She steps off to the side, and Harvey continues. And now, at the count of three, the couples will open their box and know what destiny has in store for them. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. The couples open their tiny blue chests, and the middle white couple has won. Woo! The bride triumphantly rings the bell, and the other two couples try to look happy for them. Harvey closes out the show saying, "Congratulations to our winning couple." And with that, we bring a close to another riveting season of The Wedding Countdown. The director shouts, "And cut!" And then says to Lily, "Was that good for you, Lily?" Lily says, "That was great." They both have satisfied smiles on their faces when Nicole, a bigwig from the network, comes up to Lily. "That looked great. Everyone loves how well your productions run." Lily smiles and greets her. "Nicole, it's so nice to see you. It's not every day I get a compliment from the network in person. Thanks for coming by." Nicole says, "Do you have any plans for dinner tonight?" Lily responds, "No, but am I about to?" Nicole says, "Perfect. Meet me at 8. I'll have my assistant call you with the place." And she walks off. Lily's redheaded assistant producer, Tandy, approaches and asks, "Did she give you a production deal?" Lily happily looks after the departing Nicole. "Not yet, but she's taking me to dinner, so we'll see." They walk over to Lily's car and she says, "Are you okay with setting up the Pineville office for me tomorrow for the new season we're shooting?" Tandy says, "Definitely, but don't be too long. It's your old stomping grounds where you went to college, not mine. So we'll all be happy for your insight. How long is it going to take you to get there tomorrow?" Lily says that it's about 4 hours from LA, so she'll be there around lunch, and she leaves to get ready for her big dinner. That evening, Lily is in the restaurant, waiting and waiting and waiting for her anticlimactic, not going to happen dinner date with Nicole. Eventually, Nicole calls her and apologizes profusely, but there's been a work emergency and she won't be able to make it. Lily says she understands, and a nice couple that thinks that she's been stood up for a date invites her to join them. That would be so awkward. "Hey, guys, how's it going? Are you going to pay for my meal? I'm just wondering, because then I will sit with you, because I'll do a free dinner."
I'll deal with the awkwardness for free food.
Yes, exactly. "And I will be charming as fuck." Lily gracefully declines, but does order something from the restaurant to bring back home with her. In Pineville, a beautiful mountainous ski town, the crew of The Wedding Countdown is getting set up for their round of couples. They're establishing their office in the hotel's conference rooms, and they are, as both Lily and Tandy say, a well-oiled machine. Meanwhile, Lily is packing her suitcase, grabbing her old Pineville College sweatshirt, when a notebook falls out from it. She picks it up, looks at it, and considers taking it, but nixes the idea, popping it back into the drawer. She zips up her suitcase and is headed off to Pineville. And you know what she just did with that notebook? That notebook represents her hopes and dreams. And she just put her hopes and dreams right back into that drawer.
Wow. Yeah. Symbolic.
Uh-huh. Exactly. These two sections that we both had, the front end two sections, went on forever. I was like, oh my God, I got the longest section and Tam probably had nothing. And then I saw how long yours went on for too. And I was like, oh shit, we both had like the shittiest, longest sections ever. Cause I'm not done yet.
Oh, just wait. You're going to get a nice break after you end your section. Don't you worry. You're going to be able to take a little nap, maybe go to the bathroom, get some snacks, come back. I'll still be going.
Once Lily arrives in Pineville, she drops by the local coffee shop to grab some drinks for the crew. She peruses the menu. Should she get 6 ounces twitchy, 8 ounces nervous, or 12 ounces excitable coffee for them? Decisions, decisions. Okay, gentle listeners, I have a confession to make. In this scene, she orders 8 espressos for her crew that's setting up. But ordering a bunch of espressos to go just doesn't seem like it makes sense. So I've changed it. Do you think it makes sense to, like, order a bunch of espressos to go? Eh?
I've never thought of it.
Because they're usually just, like, little shots that you blink.
Her cups didn't look that small, so I wonder if they're, like, large espressos?
No, because espresso is super condensed, and you can mix it into regular coffee, so you can add espresso shots to your coffee, but having espresso is just, like, a little shot. Toss that bad boy back. Super concentrated caffeine.
That is so interesting that you have that observation and you don't even drink coffee. And I'm like, wait, what? Espressos are bad to get to go? I'm just going to sit here quietly and listen. Okay.
I'm not a coffee drinker, so maybe it does. I've just ordered a lot of coffee for meetings. And then I looked it up online and did a little research like I did on the whole rosé wine thing.
You mean white wine?
So, gentle listeners, I changed it to coffee because espresso didn't make sense. Anyways, if you think espresso makes sense, please let me know. I would sincerely like to know.
Lily asks,
how's your coffee? Well, Josh, barista extraordinaire, is on it. Have a taste, he says, pointing to some pre-poured samples.
I have to say that when I watched that scene in the day and age that we live in, I was like, that's not sanitary. All those coffees are just exposed at the front counter with everybody talking over them.
Totally.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear God.
Where's the masks? Where's the masks?
She grabs a coffee, takes a sip, and her face lights up. This is amazing. Our sentiments exactly, Josh says happily. Lily orders 8 coffees and then asks Josh, do people still do the river dunk on the first day of the semester? Josh chuckles.
Yeah. <I'm>
And then Curran chuckles, and then Tamara chuckles at Curran chuckling.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're not a tourist then. Lily, happy to be back, says proudly. Pineville alumni. Go Pineville, go Pineville, go. Go Pineville, go Pineville, go. Trees! What about you?
Josh says, working on my PhD in English Lit. Lily gets a little excited. That's what I majored in. You may know my favorite professor, Michelle Townsend. Josh says, ITA for her. Lily is super happy now and filled with nostalgia. Please tell her that Lily Bellinger says hi. A look of recognition falls over his face. I know who you are. Did you move to New York and have some of your work published? Lily looks confused. Yes? Have you been stalking me?
Josh continues.
She uses one of your short stories in her freshman lit class. She talks about you occasionally. Lily has an extra skip in her step after that and leaves the coffee shop happily with her 8 cups of coffee and a song in her heart. When she arrives on set, everything is looking good, but Tandy approaches her with a situation. Casting called and let me know one of the couples dropped out. Lily says, okay, well, what about our 2 backup couples? Tandy responds, one is on vacation and the other broke up. Lily says, well, we dodged a bullet with backup couple number 2, but that does leave us in a bit of a jam. the show doesn't work with two couples. So let's put out a casting call on social media and get a local couple. There's gotta be a couple. Oh my God, couple so many times. There's gotta be a couple around here that wants to get married on TV.
Couple? A couple of couples?
A couple. Just a couple. Couple.
The couple.
Yeah, a couple of
couples. A couple of couple of things.
Couple.
Of the couples. Next, we're in a quaint local antique store. It has large front windows and tasteful antiques scattered about. Scott, the owner of the establishment, is taking photographs of some wares while his fiancée, Bryn, arranges merchandise on shelves with the shop's logo on it. As he snaps pictures, Scott reminds her, "You know we sell antiques, right?" To which she shrugs and responds, "Yes, but we also need to make money. And I sold 6 of these on my website last week." She holds up a t-shirt with the logo, something old, something new, and pops her hip out in the quintessential social media full body pose. Scott takes the cue and snaps a couple of shots while saying, "I don't understand what our shirts have to do with a styling brand site." "It's a stepping stone," she says matter-of-factly. "First t-shirts, then makeup and accessories, then travel, then world domination." Just then, Bryn's phone buzzes. She picks it up and squeals, "Scott, my friend Diane just texted, and you know that show Winning Countdown?" He sucks all the air out of the room in mock excitement and looks at her seriously. "No." "Well," she continues, undeterred, "they just put on a social media blast that they're looking for a third couple for the next season that they're shooting locally." Scott realizes where she's going and immediately starts protesting. "Nope, nope, no, nope. You wanted a long engagement so you could plan everything, and we've only been engaged a couple of weeks. Besides, you know I think shows like that are the downfall of humanity. And who's Diane?" "Oh, Scott," Tamara says. "Sadly, we are recapping all the reality shows. So we're just contributing to the downfall of humanity here at ODK. And I think it's also notable that he doesn't know who her friend is and thinks that Diane is a dog walker and not Bryn's old college roommate who helped her with her lifestyle website. But I digress." Problems on the horizon, perhaps? I didn't realize that she was an old college roommate.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Scott are on the same page. Oh, no.
Yes, but you're not engaged to Bryn, Corinne.
That's Bryn, very Corinne. True. Bryn and yes. I would not last long. I will tell you that.
No. "Come on," Bryn pleads. "They give us $15,000 to plan our wedding, and if we win, we get $50,000. "I can't," Scott protests, but you can tell his hard exterior is cracking. "It's only going to be 2 weeks of shooting," she continues, "and it'll be great for my blog, and it'll drive tons of traffic to your store. That show has millions of views per episode." He pauses and says, "I guess we could use $50,000 as a down payment on a house. And," she adds, "to fund a few extended trips to L.A.? He looks at her quizzically and says, "All right, let's do it." And she squeals, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you," and hugs him while saying, "You will not regret this." Famous last words. I'm going to miss Bryn and Scott. They're a beautiful couple. But you know they're not going to last. This is a Hallmark movie. She's not on the main billboard.
True. She is not on the movie poster, but I do think they have really good conversations throughout this movie. Very couply conversations.
They do.
Yes.
And spoiler, because you know what's going to happen. We all know what's going to happen. I had a conversation with Corinne when I first started watching this, and I was like, oh, hell no. Okay, so she's going to be the girl that he leaves. And every time I watched a Hallmark movie, it was like under bad circumstances, like they vilify her, so she seems like stupid and like she's not worthwhile.
Yeah.
Or she falls in love with somebody else. Or there's like a couple of other bad reasons that always left a bad taste in my mouth. But this one did not. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
So Bryn, who may or may not leave at the end, we don't know. And it's not under terrible circumstances. I'm actually okay with it. Anyways, back to the show. Across town at Wedding Countdown home base, Lillian and editor are sitting in front of a row of monitors watching episode footage. She's giving direction on how a scene can be more impactful to the audience when Tandy comes in with a look on her face. Lily examines her friend's expressions and deduces you either have really good news or really bad news. She follows her assistant producer out of the editing bay to a nearby computer where Tandy opens Bryn's social media page and clicks through the images. "This is Bryn Matthews," Tandy explains. "She has her own lifestyle brand on social media and is an open book.
Well, Lily admits, she looks great on camera, but what about her fiancé? He's a little harder to find, Tandy admits. He has no social media presence, but he does own a local antique store? Well, that's rare and refreshing, Lily says, but it doesn't seem like they're a perfect match, does it? But you know what? Maybe that'll work in our favor.
Maybe Brent's marrying for money, and the antique store owner is a crusty old dude with leather patches on his sweaters.
Yes, and a den that smells of leather-bound books and
pipe smoke or cigar
smoke. And pipe smoke, yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Tandy tells Lily we'll find out more about him in the pre-interview that we're going to do today. And Lily says, great catch, Tandy. And they go their separate ways. Until later, when we're out in the open-air courtyard of the hotel. There are sound booms and multiple cameras and a set. And this is the production value I expect to see on a reality show, not like the movie we just did, My One and Only. Can I get a witness?
Oh, My One and Only had the saddest excuse for a reality show crew that I have ever seen. I don't expect there to be a lot of reality in these, like, there's a show going on at the same time, but this was like the least TV-y ever. My One and Only was this one was a lot better.
Yes, no, My One and Only might as well have been like some elementary school dad videographing his kids' assembly, because there's like one man with the camera standing off in the distance going, cut. Okay, got it. And I was like, seriously, dude? Like, all right. And I'm not just saying that because I live in LA and I know these things. Oh. It was just really hard to swallow.
Oh, no, you're saying it because movies shoot all the time where you work, because you're special. I get it.
You can't not go someplace and not have a movie like shooting every which way here. It's crazy. I actually enjoy it immensely, but still, it's neither here nor there. Okay, shit on My One and Only. Okay, done. Check. All right.
Check,
and
check.
Lily's in a chair opposite a couple. Lily's in a chair opposite a couple asking questions in the pre-interview. The first people are a clean-cut biracial couple and have a charming story about meeting each other in a coffee shop. They were there for blind dates and mistook each other as the people they were supposed to meet. They realized their mistake, and when their real blind date showed up, it was too late. They were in love.
Aww.
Then Lily's in front of couple number two. They're a little more relaxed and casually dressed. And she asks what they have in store for their wedding plans. And they explain how they're going for the environmentally eco-friendly ceremony with recycled materials and things they already own. Tandy comes over and tells her that the third couple's running late. And Lily yells to the surrounding crew to take five. Just as her phone rings. It's Nicole. She apologizes about canceling her on her the other night, and Lily fills her in on the three great couples they got for the next season show. And Nicole sings her praises. I never have to worry about you, Lily, and I'm making sure all the executive hears know that. Keep doing what you're doing, and be sure to keep all the drama in front of the camera, and you will go up, up, up. Lily thanks her and says, my reputation speaks for itself. And they get off the phone just as Tandy leads Bryn in, walking a cute, white, fluffy dog. Introductions are made, and the dog goes ballistic. He's barking and pulling at his leash and trying to get to Lily. Wow, she says as she bends to pet him. He's really friendly. Actually, Bryn corrects, Ollie doesn't warm up that easily to anyone. Ollie? Lily asks, did you say his name was Ollie?
Dun, 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 dun.
Just as a voice behind her says, sorry, I'm late. I had to close up shop. Those words caused Lily's face to fall.
Dun, dun, dun,
she stands up quickly and regains her composure.
Dun, 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 dun.
You can't make me laugh. I'm in a serious section right here, Corinne. Okay. Bring it in. Bring it in. Okay. She regains her composure and she is face to face with Scott, the antique owner, as Bryn introduces him. Scott also has an incredulous look on his face as Bryn announces, this is Scott Myers, my fiancé. And Scott, this is... Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Lily, Lily says with a little forced enthusiasm. Scott gives a quick hey to Lily and immediately turns to Bryn saying, can I speak to you privately? They go off somewhere, leaving Lily and Tandy to look on. He must be getting cold feet, Tandy observes. No, Lily says, it's worse than that. Scott is my ex-boyfriend. They exchange, oh, shit, looks. And Tandy hisses, was it serious? Was it a clean break? Because that did not look like the warmest of reunions. I'll explain everything later, but we got to keep on track with the show. Next, we see Scott and Bryn in front of a meadow, and he's trying to talk her out of doing the show without being forthcoming on the reasons why. Yeah. Scott, shame on you.
He pulled a Corinne. Trying to talk someone out of doing something by, like, not being straightforward about it is a really bad idea. Tamara can testify to that.
Okay, so let me rephrase that then. In front of a meadow, and he's trying to talk her out of doing the show without being forthcoming on the reasons why. He pulls a Corinne. Under the guise of having more time to prepare their nuptials, but Bryn ain't having it. This is her time to shine. He's about to divulge that Lily's his ex when Tandy comes in and says, "You guys all set? We're on a really tight schedule." Bryn apologizes for holding everyone up before turning to Scott and reassuring him that everything will be fine and zipping off to set, leaving him standing there with a reluctant smile on his face.
Oof. And I just gotta call bullshit. I'm sorry. I don't care if I saw a dog out of context. If the dog reminded me of a dog that I spent years with, I'd be like, "Oh, I know this dog." You know, I wouldn't just be like, "Oh, what a cute little dog." I'd be like, I would at least say, "Oh, my ex had a dog just like him." You know, or whatever. Oh,
and I would be like, Ollie, is that you? Exactly. Being a dog owner, dog lover.
Exactly.
Ollie!
You would see Ollie from afar and be like, Ollie, I see you. You are my heart.
And then we'd run to each other in slow motion with like sappy music playing.
Yes.
Behind us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. A little bit later, Lily goes into the offices and she finds Scott, who is taking full advantage of craft services and munching on a celery stick while the ever loyal Ollie stands by his side. Scott and Lily greet each other cautiously.
I appreciated that. It would be the same way. I'm like, "Oh, we're going to do a show. And where's the snack table? Please, directions. Anybody? Anybody?"
Yes, you would
be a man after my own heart.
All about the craft services. Scott and Lily greet each other cautiously, and then they both blurt, "I had no idea." They both chuckle. "You go ahead," they both say. "Jinx, jinx, jinx," is what I say. They chuckle nervously, and Scott says, "This is a little awkward." Lily agrees. "Ugh, seriously, I had no idea you were going to be the other half of our third couple, and I'm guessing that you haven't told her about our past." Scott says, "I tried pulling a Corinne and talking her out of it indirectly, but that didn't work." "You're right. I was going to. But then one of your producers came along and interrupted me. I am totally going to be letting her know, though." Just then, Ollie jumps onto Lily. "Manners, Ollie. Manners." And she chuckles. "I can't believe Ollie recognized me after all these years." Scott smiles. And damn, his smile is disarming. Anyhow, he smiles and says, "I once put on a video of one of our old trips, and when he heard your voice, he started barking excitedly and looking around for you." Lily says, "Oh," and Scott quickly tries to minimize. "You know, I was cleaning a closet, the tape clonked me on the head, and I was like, huh, what's this? Maybe I should give this a watcheroo." Lily assures him, "I totally get it. What trip was it?" And he says, "Yosemite." And I suddenly flash on a couple of memorable couple getaway trips I had in Yosemite, and they were awesome. Good choice, Lily and Scott. Good choice. I love going to Yosemite during the winter time. It's so fucking romantical. "That was an amazing week. I can't believe we climbed Half Dome."
My friend Gina actually fell down Half Dome.
What?
She nicknamed herself Tumble because she fell hundreds of feet and rolled and fell on a ledge that was about the size of a shoe, got caught there, or she for sure would have died.
Wow.
And was there for hours because the cloud cover wouldn't allow the helicopter to land and rescue her safely. And she was in recovery for many, many years. Her name's Gina Bartiromo, and she has lots of videos where she talks about it online. So,
wow.
Shout out to Gina Tumble, falling down Half Dome. And
so, but this
came
is
out
about
better
them
on the other end.
Not you.
Oh,
no,
sorry, sorry. It wasn't about me. It was about Gina, my friend, and you said Half Dome, and that's like synonymous with Gina. I'm sorry. I'm just going to sit here and be quiet now for the rest of the podcast. Carry on.
Great, then I can pretend to be you. Yeah, you'd be so great at it. I know. Thanks.
You sound nothing like me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He smiles at her in regards to the half-done comment with a twinkle in his eyes and says, right? Lily is caught up in the moment and breaks their tractor beam of connection. I gotta go check on some work. TTFN! As Scott does the same thing. Oh, Bryn's probably done in makeup. I should track her down. Nice seeing you, they say, and they both hastily part ways. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Feelings of love. And now we get the backstory of Lily and Scott, courtesy of a very informative walk and talk that Tandy and Lily are having in town. Tandy broaches the subject. How long am I supposed to act like you and groom number 3 don't know each other? That's an excellent question. And while Lily doesn't answer the question that Tandy asked aloud, she does answer the question that was on Tandy's heart, but that she didn't feel was appropriate to ask her boss. Her heart asked, thump, 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 thump. Tell me everything I've got to know about you and groom number 3. How'd you meet? Why'd it fall apart? Do you think I could lure him away from Bryn because he's pretty cute? Okay, her heart doesn't actually ask the last question, but Lily answers the basic questions happily. Well, we met here in college freshman year, and after we graduated, we moved to New York so I could become a successful writer. Because you can't write just anywhere. Scott got a job taking photos for an auction house.
Sure can't.
No. Things were going well, and then one day an agent read a short story that I got published and offered me a job in L.A. writing for a one-hour drama series. Scott was in the middle of a big project at work, so we decided that I'd head to L.A. and he'd stay in New York. If things worked out for me, he'd come on out, and if they didn't, I could easily return to him in New York. The show lasted one season and was canceled, but I got another job, and Scott and I tried to make it work long distance, but it didn't really work, so we ended up splitting apart due to distance. Tandy loves the story. And now fate has brought you two together. Lily shakes her head. I don't believe in fate. Everything with him was in the past, and now he's making a new future with somebody else. Mm-hmm.
Later, Tandy and Lily are walking down the mean streets of downtown Pineville again, discussing what they will need for the next... Walking on the mean streets of downtown Pineville, discussing what they will need next for the show. Lily wonders if Scott will get his tuxedo in time for the next shoot, and Tandy says, well, you can ask him, because just ahead he is photographing a fairy table display, question mark? It's ceramic. Ceramic mushrooms on glass-clear stalks lined up on a mossy basket-like something straight out of a distorted Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, I thought they were a penis Lily tells bouquet. Tandy, a bouquet of penises. Colorful penises.
Well, that would be photograph worthy.
Yeah.
The Alice in Wonderland weird sculpture. I was like, yeah, I wouldn't want to document that for posterity or put it on my website
whimsical.
For that matter.
It's
That's
whimsical.
One of his antiques. Sure. If I think you mispronounced tacky. Lily tells Tandy that she's going to go say hi, and Tandy smartly asks, do you need a mediator? To which Lily waves her hand and says, beat it. She approaches him, and they exchange pleasantries before Lily gets down to business. So, have you told Bryn about us? And he says, no, she's been so busy with the website and the wedding, I haven't got around to it. Well, Lily admits, I'm just worried she'll pull out of the show if she finds out about us later. Don't worry, he assures her. Nothing will stop Bryn from being on this show.
I agree.
Literally nothing. Okay, I trust you, she smiles before adding, hey, Bryn's going to the post office to pick up her wedding favors. Would you mind driving her? I think it would be a great shot if both of you were there when she opens them. He says, sure, and then invites her to go with him to the park so he can finish his roll of film and walk Ollie. As they make their way down the town streets, Lily asks about his job in New York, and he admits that he got laid off. But all his work at the auction house photographing really old things stirred up his passion for antiques, so he came back to Pineville, found a rental space, and opened up shop. But, he divulges, Bryn recently keeps hinting that she wants to move to L.A. She says it's the place to be. Oh, is that what you want? Lily asks. No, not really, he admits, but nothing is set in stone. And what about you? Why did you stop writing? Well, she shares, sometimes in this line of work, we have to write storylines, so there's some writing involved, and that kind of tides me over since I stopped writing fiction. I don't think she ever answered his question. I'm pretty sure she doesn't.
She's good at not answering questions. I did.
She's really good at not answering questions, so that's not just my bad writing. She doesn't answer the question. They contemplate how life has thrown both of them curveballs when Scott holds up his camera to take his last picture. He wants Lily to be in the shot, but she protests, and he coaxes, come on, the lighting is great, and you look beautiful. Besides, I'm about to do you a favor by being there for the wedding favor unveiling, so, you owe me. She obliges. But as his camera clicks, the screen pans out to reveal a beautiful misty mountain behind him.
So gorgeous.
And why?
So gorgeous.
Did he take that basic ass bitch photo of her in the park with some trees and people behind her when he's got that breathtaking landscape behind him?
I'm telling you,
I thought he was a good photographer.
Brent should have used the straw trick that they used in my one and only and been like, oh, you have some straw in your hair, non-existent hair, Scott. Let me get that for you. Swivel, 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 turn around so that the mountainscape was behind her. Yes.
And then inadvertently, like, redirect him. Real nonchalant. Yeah. Super cash.
Super cash.
And just then, Bryn runs up, and Scott and Lily fall right back into professional mode and tell Bryn all about how they're going to include Scott in the trip to the post office to add a little drama. Bryn is thrilled. Whatever makes her look good. I mean, whatever makes them look good. And Lily excuses herself so the couple can get to their location. A little later, we're back in Scott's antique shop, and he's polishing a mounted bell when Bryn walks in with a few bunches of flowers. I need your decision, she announces. Which flower should we use for our centerpieces?
Is that a euphemism?
What?
Polishing a mounted bell?
It is now. The flower choices are purple irises, yellow ranunculus, and lily of the Incas. Scott gives him a serious look and says, based on the colors we picked for our venue, I like the ranunculus. She smiles happily at this decision and goes to grab a vase for the bouquets. Scott, finally deciding that it's the right time, says, hey, you know that ex that I had a serious relationship with before you?
Yeah,
Bryn answers, looking at him curiously. Well, she's back in town, and I've seen her, and as a matter of fact, we've both seen her. He starts chuckling like it's some funny coincidence, but Bryn is not playing. She stares at him intently, so he gets to the point. It's Lily, the show producer of The Wedding Countdown. She looks shocked. She opens her mouth as if she's going to say something, but then we cut to commercial. Because we never find out what she says.
Nope.
Never find out.
No.
Damn it.
We can imagine, though. Curse your son, inevitable betrayal.
Trail, trail, trail.
Lily has gone to her old diner hangout to find a quiet place to get some work done. She sits at her table, one of the best spots, a two-seater by the window with a view of the water. She pulls up the tablecloth and it's still there. Etched into the table is a heart with her and Scott's name roughly carved in the center. She puts down the tablecloth, pulls out her computer, and gets to work. Clickety, 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 click. Time has passed and she's in the thick of her work when a woman passes by, unknowingly dropping her credit card. Lily picks it up. Excuse me, ma'am? You dropped your card. The woman stops and turns around and it's, ta-da, Professor Townsend. Professor Townsend immediately recognizes Lily and is thrilled to see her. Are you here to work on your novel? She says, looking at Lily's open laptop. No, says Lily. I'm actually working on a budget for the reality TV show I produce. Professor Townsend nods. As long as you're happy, that's all that matters. However, I hope that you haven't given up on writing altogether. The way you put words together would always light a little lantern in my soul. And you owe it to yourself. Professor Townsend runs off to class and Lily sits back down, closes her laptop, and looks contemplatively out the window. She's looking at the woman in the mirror. She's evaluating her priorities. And things are suddenly becoming a little clearer. If she wants to change her life, her priorities, you'll just have to stay tuned and wait and see. La 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 la. Later that day, Lily and Tandy are taking the gondola up the slopes to check out Brennan Scott's wedding site. Both seem to be very afraid of heights. I wish I was there checking out the awesome view, but I'm not, because I wasn't invited.
Oh, man.
Nobody invites me. Once they reach the top and are on solid ground, both women are much more confident and they start strategizing on what they should do for production. They are standing on a two-tiered large deck with beautiful views of the mountain. Lily is on the top floor and Tandy is on the lower level talking with Bryn. And once the people that Lily was talking to walk away to do her bidding, Scott approaches her. So, I wanted to let you know that I told Bryn about us, he says, rocking a little nervously back and forth on his feet. Lily answers, good. Did it go over okay? Scott says, she was definitely surprised, but she said she was okay with it, and I believe her. To her, the past is the past. Lily smiles tightly. I totally agree, and I'm glad that we can move on from here. Suddenly, a door opens and an enthusiastic Lily is heard across the viewing deck that Scott and Lily are standing on. Lily turns to see Scott's mom excitedly approaching her. Lily is so happy to see Patricia, who Tamara has dubbed Mama P and shall be called that henceforth. They hug and Lily's heart twinges. She didn't realize how much she missed the amazing Mama P. In the midst of Lily and Mama P's reunion, Bryn shuffles excitedly over. Mama P, I'm so excited to see you. Mama P folds back a bit and gives Bryn a reserved. It's lovely to see you too, dear. They hug and then Bryn pulls Lily aside for a little chat. I love that she takes the time to communicate to Lily and just be open about everything. She says, I just wanted to make sure that you knew we're all good. I'm happy that you turned out to be the mystery girl. It shows me that Scott has always had good taste. As long as you're okay, I'm okay. Lily gets a genuine smile on her face. That's really nice of you to say. Thank you. And they hug it out and return to Mama P and Scott. Bryn says, I just had the best idea. We should all go to dinner together. Scott, Mama Pete, and Lily all communicate to each other with their eyes. Really? Don't you think that would be awkward? But they say nothing. After an awkward silence, Tamara's nodding her head. After an awkward silence, everybody says, yeah, let's do it. Bryn continues, ooh. And there's a new trendy restaurant in town, Chez Louis. It may not be as good as the food in L.A., but it's the best Pineville has. We should go there. Bryn pulls Scott away to go over some details, and Mama P says to Lily, yep, that's going to be my daughter-in-law. Lily tries mustering some enthusiasm. It's great, great. She's got such a positive energy. Mama P gets the really look on her face. Pats Lily on the arm and says, that's one way of looking at it, and walks off, leaving a stunned Lily to contemplate spending the next evening with Bryn. The next day, Lily goes to Scott's antique store and is immediately greeted by a very happy Ollie. But the next person who greets her is a bit of a surprise. It's not Scott, Bryn, or Mama P. It's wah, 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 Jeff, Scott's best friend, who is in town for the wedding.
Jeff.
Ooh. And it's obvious that Lily and Jeff have had a history where they don't always get along. Jeff approaches Lily, who is giving her attention to Ollie. Well, hello there. Guess they'll allow just about anyone in these days. Lily stands up, says a warm hi, and they hug. And she says, when did you get into town? Jeff scoffs. Last night. Do you think I'd miss my best friend's reality show wedding? Lily throws him a skeptical look. Do you really want me to answer that? They both chuckle and Jeff acknowledges their vibe. Well, that didn't take long, did it? Was Scott expecting you? Lily glances around the store. I came here to check things out before we shoot. Do you know where either of them are? Jeff says, nope. Although I do know that Scott is grabbing some food for us, he left me in charge. Lily retorts, well, that was a bad idea. Jeff cordially responds, that's what I told him. Lily asks, so what have you been up to? He says, I'm a therapist. Lily looks dubious. Well, I guess that's one way to get people to listen to you. Jeff is older,
and wiser and not taking the bait like he might have back in their college days. What about you? I heard you're producing movies. Lily wanders past Scott so that her back is to him, picks up a Pineville pendant to look at, and says, I'm producing reality TV. Jeff says, well, as long as you're happy, that's all that matters. In the words of Professor whatever her name is, too. Interesting. There's silence from Lily, so he probes. Are you happy? Lily turns around. Well, I'm not doing what I expected to be doing. I'm happy enough, but ever since I've arrived here, it's gotten me evaluating if what I'm doing is right for me. Jeff responds, totally understandable. So, switching topics, how has it been seeing Scott? Lily rolls her eyes. Do you take credit cards or checks? Jeff's face softens. I'm asking as a friend. Lily pauses, a bit disarmed by this different version of Jeff. I don't know. Seeing him has stirred up a lot of old feelings and memories, but primarily I'm just happy he's happy. He deserves it. Jeff says, you both do. Lily has moved on to looking at a leather-bound journal. She sets it down, leaving her hand resting on the top. Well, I really should be going. Jeff sees her dance with the journal and says, take the journal. It's on the house. Lily laughs. Okay, I'll make sure to pay Scott the next time I come in. And she heads out the door.
She leaves the antique shop, and I put a note that I hate the decal that they have on the outside window of that said antique shop. The logo, something old, something new, was highlighted in orange, in like a really bright orange. And like the graphic designer, I mean, and I was like, twitch, 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 twitch. I'm like, that totally looks like when you open up a file and the font's not found. So they have like the text highlighted so that you know that you don't have the font in your font. Like, oh my God. I was just like, no, but I digress. That night at Chez Louis, Lily and Scott are seated alone. They should be here any minute, Scott assures her while his phone buzzes. Oh, Scott says after reading a text, Bryn's website crashed and she's going to be on the phone with tech support for a while, so she's not coming. Just then he gets another text, and my mom has jet lag. They sit with that realization for a beat before Lily says, well, it looks like it's just you and me. A smile sneaks through her face, and Scott offers, well, we can totally cancel if you want. Oh, no. It's just dinner, she protests. And he agrees, so they both pick up their menus and peruse the sumptuous choices Chez Louis offers, like goose liver ravioli, head cheese terrine, and beef cheek. Scott pipes up in a very bad fake French accent. Yes, miss, we take the cheek of the beef and we prepare it delicious, special for you.
That sounds more Italian. Lily snickers while trying to...
I can't do French. Okay, I'll try it again. Yes, miss, we take the cheek of the beef and we prepare it special for you. It's delicious.
Better, better, yeah.
Lily snickers while trying to quiet him down as his impression has attracted the attention of the surrounding tables. Hey, she asks, is Uncle Link still around the corner? Come on now, he says, you read my mind, and they're off because fuck that pretentious food. Mm-hmm. We next see them at an open-air wood-fire pizzeria with two slices balanced on paper plates in hand.
That pizza looked so fucking good. Oh, it looked like wood-fired pizza at its ultimate. I wanted some of that. Usually movie pizza looks horrible.
Yeah, looks like something that they got at Costco 2 days ago. And this was like, this actually looked like something I'd want to eat. Lily marvels at how good the place is. It's better than I remember. And Scott breaks a cardinal rule by saying, yeah, I think it's almost as good as the pizza in New York. Which prompts Lily to stop her in her tracks and give him a watch it now, point of the finger. They sit at a wood bench, and Lily gives him credit for throwing everything together so quickly for the show. Isn't that the premise? He argues. Yeah, she agrees, but I've never done it with people I've actually known, or somebody I've dated for so long. Notice how she slides that right in there, Corinne. I think it's pretty clear that Lily is catching the feels again. Did you and Bryn meet here in Pineville? Yep. He confirms, I needed help with marketing. She came highly recommended. We worked together, and the rest is history. A college couple passes by, and Lily hisses, they look so young now compared to when we were here. Scott looks at her crazy. Speak for yourself. I haven't aged a bit. Lily laughs at this and playfully slaps him on the arm. Hey, 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 he warns. I'm a big TV star now. You better be careful. Not yet, she admits. And besides, I can edit you out.
Ooh.
Her expression grows serious, and she admits, I really messed it up with us, didn't I? Scott's expression does not register what she's saying, and she continues, when we broke up, I took the easy way out. Come on now, he protests. That was ages ago, and you don't owe me any explanation. I know, she agrees, but I've been thinking about it a lot lately. You know, when I got to L.A., I could only focus on my career, and when that scripted gig ended, I took to reality TV just so I wouldn't have to come home with my tail between my legs, and I'm really sorry.
I gotta say, in these fucking Hallmark movies with these women apologizing for things that aren't their fault, when she moved to L.A., when she moved to L.A.
Here it comes.
When she moved to L.A., they had an agreement in their relationship. It was, hey, she's going to L.A., and if she ends up, like, working there, he would come out on the little old airplane and move to L.A. Guess what happened?
Mm-hmm.
He stayed in fucking New York. How is she apologizing?
Because maybe her work ended and he was like, okay, I'm on my way to come be with you. And she was like, no, 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 no. You just go ahead and stay there. I think it's best this way. Or he might have had a job that was more fitting to his career. Like she lost her job and he had a job. So maybe
she got another job
instead
right
of
away,
like
though.
Her going. But there was probably a couple of minutes between those two jobs before she got her second one where she was unemployed and she could have gone back to New York because he was probably gainfully employed, but she did not. Hence her fault.
He was working, taking pictures of antiques. Not really like...
And she was unemployed.
Shortly. Mm-hmm. Shortly.
And she was unemployed.
Shortly. You know
well,
she
you
was
can't
making
write
money
just
to him.
Anywhere.
You can't write just... Good point. Good point. Okay, you're totally right. What was I thinking?
I mean, let's be real. You know you have to come down here for a couple of days out of the week because you have to be in L.A. to write. And then you go back home and then we do the podcast. I mean, it's just the natural way of things.
Yes. I thought you had to be in New York to write. I was confused. But yes.
New York or L.A.
Oh, okay.
I mean, but the commute here is definitely quicker and,
yes,
you know.
Yes, that's true.
Less problematic. And back to our show. He opens his arms grandly and says, yeah, you should be sorry. How could you leave all of this? I am the hottest guy in Pineville. She laughs, but when she grows quiet, he apologizes too. I'm sorry. When things get too serious, I gotta crack a joke. I know, she says. How could I forget? You know, he says seriously. It was hard losing you back then, and it took a long time to get over you and find somebody else, but what are you gonna do? Our timing just wasn't right. She softly says, yeah. And they get up and share a long hug. And that should have a rating in itself because there were some things going on in that hug. At Uncle Link's Pizzeria, they break apart and gaze into each other's eyes. And there is just the slightest movement towards each other when Lily's phone dings. And it's Tandy, reminding her about her early call time. I better go, Lily says. And Scott asks, do you want me to walk you to your hotel room? And Tamara says, bad idea, bad idea, bad, 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 bad.
And Lily takes the high road.
And they go their separate ways. Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go to the hotel room. You know what's going to happen. There's going to be more hugging.
Mm-hmm. Hugging.
With your clothes off.
Naked hugging. Oh. The next day, Lily tells Tandy about their non-date date. While they are at the craft services table grabbing food, Tandy raises her eyebrows. Seriously? You are not supposed to be dating bachelor number 3, Lily responds. I'm not. It was completely innocent. Plus, I'm not interested in being in the middle of his relationship, nor am I interested in jeopardizing my job. Tandy waves a pair of tongs at her. I agree with everything you're saying. Now, if you actually want that, you'll stay away from Scott, okay? She says, making a check mark in the air with the tongs for emphasis. They both shake their heads at each other with smiles, and we move on to the next scene.
Scott and Jeff are trying on their tuxes, and Scott, looking in the mirror, says, "What do you think?" Jeff gives him the eye. "I think you should have canceled the meal once Mama P and Bryn backed out."
"I agree. That was a bad idea."
Scott shakes his head. "I was talking about the tux," Jeff continues. "Be careful. This situation could get complicated pretty easily. Plus, I saw how you were after you and Lily broke up, and I don't want that to happen to you again." Scott puts on his jacket and straightens Jeff's bow tie and says, "I agree, but you know me. I always do the right thing." They turn to the mirror, and then they pose all sexy, like James Bond in their tuxes. And I will say, and I do want to clarify, while you can tell that they are having internal feelings towards each other, they also aren't being super flirty or anything like that with each other. Like, they are maintaining reasonable boundaries. Oh, but Tamara has a different opinion.
Oh, she looked that little movement towards each other. If that phone did not ding,
I
think would have been something.
I agree.
If he walked her to the hotel, granted they did not walk to it, good for them, but if there wasn't that interruption, I think something might have happened that would have been out of line.
I agree. There was that one moment. Obviously, going on a date with each other was not the best idea, as Jeff pointed out. But yeah. She wasn't like,
yeah,
"Hey there, sexy." You think she was?
Well, no. I just like when she snuck in that, you know, she could have just said, "I've never done this with people I know," but then it was like, "I've never done this with people I know and somebody I've been with for so long." Like, I thought that was kind of like, girl. And then she was like playfully slapping his arm when she was laughing. That is like flirting 101 right there. Oh, Scott, you're so funny.
I wasn't really like bothered by that. But when Scott was like, "How could you resist all this?" I was like, that's walking the line a little bit.
They're both walking the line. And it's just like, it's not overt, but like, it's just like little tiny steps bouncing one on top of the other. Uh-huh. And so that I'm just like, okay, inappropriate. So
back away. When I was watching this movie, I was like, you are so Tandy. Because throughout this, she's like, don't do it. Stay away. As Scott and Jeff are finishing up their tux fitting, Bryn and Mama P are being helped by my crush, the bakery guy. He looks kind of like Harpo Marx without the crazy curly wig. And there's just something about him that makes me go,
Maybe it's all the cake and pastries in his close proximity.
I swear to you, I have seen him in a horrible Hallmark movie as a secondary character. And he makes my heart go pitter patter. I love him so much. His name is, oh, this is love, Matty Finocchio.
I was going to say, I'm like, I know you know his name. I was just waiting for it. I'm going to almost sit here quietly because I know you know his name. Corinne would not crush on a Hallmark guy and not know who he was.
Oh, Matty Finocchio.
He's an Aries. He likes long walks on the beach. His favorite flower is a daffodil.
And he's very interested in like short, curvy girls. Yeah, no, I'm fine. Totally normal. Totally natural. Speaking of totally normal and natural, I will call him Grover. Not in our lives together, but just within this scene.
And his new living room furniture looks great from outside the window.
Wait, are you stepping up on my man? Are you stepping up? Are you laughing and touching his arm? Because that's not okay.
I'm asking him to walk me back to my hotel room. How about that?
I thought we were friends. If you have more of a connection with him than I do, it's okay. I'll get over it. You can't choose who you love. We're in a cake shop with Grover, the handsome Grover, and Mama P and Bryn. Grover hands them a cake that Bryn thinks is interesting. Then Bryn asks Mama P what she thinks. Mama P likes it, but Bryn kind of makes a face. Then Grover hands them a slice of ginger spice cake. Mama P says, "Ooh, this one is even better." And Bryn, making sure to take pics of the cakes for her blog, makes some dissatisfied noises. Meh, eh. I just want the cake we have at our wedding to be sensational. Grover gets a look in his eyes. I think I have just what you're looking for. He goes to the back to get some more cake, and as he leaves, Scott comes into the bakery. Ding, ding. He doesn't first greet Bren, but instead stands next to his mom. Sorry I'm late. The tux fitting went long. How are things going? Bren, who is playing solitaire on her phone during the tasting, says, it's going.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh. And she rolls her eyes at Mama P, who has her back to her, as if to say, she's being a pain. Mama P says tersely, yes, you could say that. Grover interrupts the love fest by bringing out their newest cake, pink champagne with raspberry mousse. Both ladies love the cake. Bren puts down her piece to take a pick of it, and Mama P hands him her slice to try. Scott says, wow, I really like this one. And Bren says, yeah, but I'm going to post them to my site to see what my followers think. Mama P has had enough and politely excuses herself to the restroom. Scott approaches Bren. I'd really like to have a cake that tastes good for our wedding. This wedding shouldn't be about your followers. It should be about us. Bren looks at Scott. I agree, but I have the chance to really connect with a lot of people through the show, and they're not going to be able to taste the cake. They're going to like it because of the way it looks. Please support me on this, like I support you with your store. Scott takes a moment and then says, okay, I'm here for you. And they hug it out. Fuck that shit. Fuck that shit. Fuck that shit.
Besides, Grover is a whiz with baked goods, and I'm sure that he can make any cake look good.
Right, that's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, what's on the inside doesn't matter. Like, it matters to the people who are tasting it, but it doesn't matter facade-wise. Like,
she's really feeling it, folks. Her arms are flailing.
You and me, we're on the same page. I was like, you can decorate the cake however the fuck you want. If that's really important to you and your followers, which I can kind of understand why she's like trying to take advantage of this opportunity, that's fine. Have the cake however the fuck you want it to look on the outside. But on the inside, I want it to be some delicious flavors that I like. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Nodding emphatically.
Tamara agrees. But just generally speaking, I do not want followers making choices for my fantasy wedding to Grover. Mm-mm. I don't care what his Instagram followers think. Corinne and Grover forever.
Dun, dun, da, da.
Dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, da. Next, we're at Corinne and Grover's wedding.
Yay!
I mean, Kim and James' wedding.
Damn!
We're at the reception, and the party's in full swing. All of the guests are under a huge glass-enclosed gazebos. Cameras are everywhere, capturing all the interactions between the newlyweds and guests. Lily and Tandy are behind a row of monitors, directing the cameras where to zoom in, or at least they should be. Lily is zoned in on one monitor, showing Scott and Bren doing some chicken dancing. She is so zoned in, she doesn't hear Tandy comment, wow, Kim and James are definitely contenders, or her phone buzzing at her side, until Tandy says, hello. Hello, Earth to Lily. What? She says distractedly. Well, your phone's been buzzing off the hook and you haven't answered it. Oh, she says guiltily and ducks away to answer it. It's Nicole. We've all just watched a cut of your current episode and we decided to keep the show on for the full season. But please, Lily, keep this to yourself as we want to do a huge press release. Oh, that's great, she says excitedly. And Nicole reminds her, there's a lot riding on the show. Lots of money will be funneling your way, so nothing can go wrong. Keep the drama in front of the camera, not behind it. Got it, Lily says, and then goes back to her directing chair and gives Tandy a smile and a nod. Was that Nicole, she asks, and Lily confirms it was. And their show is renewed. The girls all bounce up and down excitedly before Lily adds, and she asked us not to have any problems on set. That was weird. I wonder what she meant by that. Lily goes back to her monitor, which has essentially been the Scott Meyer show, and puts her headphones back on. Tandy gives her a concerned look because she knows exactly what Nicole meant, and they do have a problem, and his name is Scott.
Oh.
The next day or so, Scott is back at his antique store selling a piece to a customer when his mom walks in. He excuses himself to greet her and thanks her for coming to help him. Bad retail 101, Scott. You don't leave your customer to have a personal interaction with the family member. Just saying. Mama P says, no problem, but where's Bryn? And he checks his phone and says, oh, she's on a video call with her maid of honor. Something about a dress color? Well, Mama P muses, she certainly is busy. Scott agrees and starts to walk away when she stops him. Ho, ho, ho. Honey, is everything okay? And he brushes her off with a polite but dismissive, oh, it's fine. And Mama P knows, though, so she pushes harder. No, I mean it. Don't you feel like you're rushing things? Scott takes his mother's hand in his. I know you and Bryn haven't had a chance to bond, Mom, and that's my fault. It's not that, Mama P scoffs. If you love her, that's really good enough for me, but I'm talking about turning your wedding day into reality TV fodder. Your father and I were married for 32 years, and I'll never forget our wedding day and how special it was and all the people there that helped to be so special. Scott absorbs all she's saying before he responds. I agreed to do this with Bryn because I support her, just like Dad would have supported you. Mama P finally relents as Scott takes Ollie for a walk. I shan't be long, he says playfully and walks out.
Oh, okay. Now I want to say your Mama P is amazing. You do such good Mama P. I'm a little envious.
Channeling Mama P.
But in a very good way.
I wish I could do accents like I can do Mama P impressions. Ollie and Scott are on the Pineville campus for their walk when Ollie goes crazy and rushes off the path, taking Scott with him, which was kind of a stretch because in this scene,
Ollie is not a big dog.
Like, he's acting like Ollie, who's like a terrier, is pulling him. Ollie, that's all of like 9 pounds, is pulling big burly Scott off the trail for reals. Like, Hallmark, come on now.
I know. He's like, whoa, where are you taking me?
Whoa. And I'm like, you just stand still. Scott, you'll be fine. You just hold on to the leash and you stand still. You'll be okay. But no. In Hallmark world, Ollie pulls Scott right off of that path and beelines towards Lily, who is sitting under a tree writing in the antique store journal that she procured from Jeff. She greets Ollie with a head scratch and a, are you looking for someone? And Scott says, oh, I'm so sorry. We can leave if we're interrupting you. No, she says, take a load off. He does, and then notices the journal. Hey, that looks familiar. I know, she smiles. I owe you for this. Jeff gave it to me, and he would not let me pay. Scott hesitates and smiles and says, well, that means you owe me $19.95. I'm just kidding. He doesn't say that. He actually says, consider it a gift. I'm just glad to see you writing again. Me too, she agrees. Something about this place has just opened up my writing, and I'm trying to capture it before it closes all back up. Maybe, he says, it's open forever. And she smiles hopefully, and they both look across the campus at all the students doing student-y things.
Aww. We move on to seeing the second couple get married and then switch to Bryn in a coffee shop on her computer. She's checking out the votes on her potential wedding cakes when Diana, her maid of honor, calls. Hi, Diana, what's up? We see Diana sitting on a chaise poolside with a large plastic boot velcroed to her foot. Well, I have some bad news for you. I broke my ankle at the climbing gym, and I'm going to need surgery. Unfortunately, I can't make it to your wedding. Bryn is disappointed, but Diana spins it. Hey, the drama will be good for ratings at least, huh? Bryn says, get better, and they hang up. That evening, Bryn and Scott are hanging out together at, I'm guessing, his house. Scott and Bryn are sitting on a couch, and Bryn has her laptop open in front of her. Scott checks in. What's going on? Bryn excitedly says, I finalized our menu with the caterer for our wedding. Scott's confused. I don't remember choosing any food. I thought we were going to do that together. Bryn assures him, don't worry about it. I took care of everything. The website voted for the chicken almondine and the salmon with capers.
Stop letting people choose your food!
Yeah, because as we know from Beverly Hills Wedding, it's so fun to have absolutely no say in your wedding planning, particularly for guys. Like, oh, yeah, no, yes. You can't have any say in your wedding, guys. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, wait, you can pick out your champagne. Oh, good joy. Yay, wow.
We're back at the champagne again. We're back at the champagne again. Scott says,
You outsourced our wedding menu? I would have liked to have had some say. Bryn looks at him. It's not that big of a deal. I'm under a lot of pressure here, and I'm just trying to do the right thing to build my career. And I say to her, if it's not a big deal to have your wedding outsourced, how would you like that to be done to you, Bryn? Huh?
Yeah. Get her, Corinne. Get her.
Yeah. But instead of flipping his shit, like I would have, Scott keeps it calm, cool, and collected. I respect that, but I want to plan this wedding with you, not just learn about it when it airs on TV. She agrees, although I think that most of the wedding decisions have already been made at that point. But she says, so, full disclosure, check this out. She swivels her laptop towards Scott, and she says, look at these real estate listings in Silver Lake and Venice Beach. Those are neighborhoods in the greater Los Angeles area, for those of you who might not know. And I say, yes, Bryn, $1 to $2 million properties are perfect for looking at. I totally agree. When you own an antique store in a small town, I'm sure you're just rolling in that money.
Super cash. Yeah.
Scott says, Los Angeles? Bryn says, yeah. With the show launching and the exposure I'm going to be getting, it's the perfect time for us to move to LA. Scott is dubious. I'm not sure how to respond to this. You're showing me real estate listing days before our wedding? Bryn nods her head. I understand. It's a lot to process, but please, just promise to keep an open mind. Scott looks at her. I will, but you also have to understand, this is a discussion, not a decision. And the brain hamster in his head starts working away on the wheel slowly, mulling over some doubts about his compatibility with Bryn as she enthusiastically shows him more overpriced housing.
Oh my God. When I saw that, I was like, seriously? Silver Lake and Venice Beach? Seriously? Oh my God.
The next day, Lily is sitting at her favorite table at the restaurant. Her laptop is placed on top of the carving of her and Scott's initials in a heart. She's typing away when she hears a voice behind her. Excuse me, this table is reserved for locals only? She irately turns and says, since when? And then sees it's Scott. He says, since 6 this morning, but I won't tell on you if you let me share it with you. She pauses for a moment, ponders, and says, okay. Scott takes a seat and places a pad of paper on the table. How have you been? Lily, who has been typing away on the computer, looks up. Pretty good. Just working on the budget for next week's episode. I like to be prepared. He smiles knowingly. I remember that about you. I'm just working on my vows. Lily gets a sly smile. Oh, a procrastinator. I remember that about you. Well, I'll be quiet over here so you can get some work done. Scott looks uncertainly over at her. Actually, if you had any feedback for me, I'd appreciate it. I've been having a heck of a time. Lily, the ex-girlfriend of Scott, who still has, at minimum, lingering feelings for him, sucks it up and says, yeah, sure, no problem. What have you got? Scott gets ready. Okay, here it goes. And then I had to resist writing better vows for him. So I purposefully tried to make them less better, but, you know, it was hard. He says, okay, here it goes. You are my sunrise and my sunset. I promise to kiss you in the rain, laugh together, and cry together. I promise that you'll never be alone because I will always be by your side. He looks at her hopefully. So, what do you think? Bryn says, I don't hate it. If I were to give you 2 pieces of advice, one would be to make it more personal, and the other would be to put something more powerful at the end, like, and she looks him in the eyes. Okay, so every time I point at you, I want you to mumble, Scott, because you're really good at doing that whole, like, mumbly aside thing.
Okay, yeah. Got it, okay.
Every moment that I look at you,
Scott.
I hope that my heart always feels like it does in this moment.
Scott.
As I love you.
Scott.
more than Scott. Life itself.
Scott.
Or something like that. Scott is transfixed, and then the spell is broken. Yeah, that's great. Can you repeat that for me? Bryn laughs.
No. Get your own lines.
He thanks her for her help, and they both return back to their work.
A little later, We're at the summit of the mountain, and it's Scott and Bryn's wedding rehearsal. There is a traditional outdoor ceremony space with chairs and flowers overlooking a gorgeous mountain range. Lily and the cameras are all angling to capture the day perfectly. When the faux ceremony's over, Lily calls, "That's a wrap!" from her director's chair and goes over to the couple. "That was great," she tells Bryn and Scott. Jeff, who's playing best man close by, chimes in. "I am so impressed, Lily. It really seems like you know what you're doing." Scott gives him a playful jab, and Lily makes a note in her checklist to shoot Jeff with the wide-shot lens that will add 15 pounds and poor lighting because he's being a little bitch. She doesn't do that, but that's what I would do. Lily notices Bryn looking a little troubled and asks her, "So how did you think it went, Bryn?" And she half-heartedly responds, Oh, good. Yeah, I think everything was fine." But Lily can sense that it's not fine, so she sends the guys away, telling them to go try on their altered tuxes. When they're gone, Lily takes a different route. "Oh, you're picking up your dress this afternoon, right? Do you want some company?" Bryn smiles. "I would love that." And they're off to the bridal store. They arrive at the Pineville Bridal Boutique and go inside. Bryn beelines it to the back of the store and her dress. It's hanging and she shimmies with excitement and she pulls it off the hanger and shows it to Lily. She goes to try it on and make sure there's no last-minute alterations needed. While she's gone, Lily admires a gown on a mannequin and Bryn peeks out of the dressing room and says, "Try it on, girl." And Lily says, "No, I came to support you." And Bryn says, "Support me by putting on that dress, biatch." And they have a full-on dress montage. They pose, they dance, they frolic in a bevy of wedding gowns. They look like they're in a tampon commercial. No leaks here. Protection so strong, you can try on a slew of white wedding dresses. After they've gotten their bridal fill, they fall onto a couch together and rest and sip champagne. Lily thanks Bryn, saying, "I needed that. I've been in work mode for 2 months straight with this show, and then there's the whole added stress of trying to work out a deal for new seasons with the network." Bryn gets a glimmer in her eye. She wants Lily's life and is waiting for her to divulge what's bad about this whole situation. Lily continues to tell her that ever since she's come back, she's wanted to write and is now conflicted about what direction to go in. They're opening up, so Bryn finally shares that she's having second thoughts about the wedding. Everything that was cute and different about her and Scott before is now causing problems the closer they get to the wedding day. Lily assures her that they will figure it out, and Bryn wants to believe her. They leave to get out of the dresses, and so the store can close up. Exactly how long were they there? They closed down that shop with all of their dress montages.
That night, Lily is in the editing bay going through footage for a behind-the-scenes segment. She's watching Scott rub and polish some wood transfixed. Tandy comes in and lets Lily know she's headed home, but she can start things off in the morning, giving Lily an extra half hour of sleep. Lily nods and says, thank you, absentmindedly, still completely involved in watching Scott polish his hard wood. Tandy also reminds her that Nicole is being picked up tomorrow at 9. Still completely distracted, Lily says, "Thanks for handling that," and Tandy heads out the door. Across town, Bryn is getting
ready. While she watches him rub and polish and rub and polish and rub and polish.
His hard, hard wood. Lily, you're drooling a little there. You're drooling.
It's okay. It acts as lube.
Or as Tam would say, there's a party going on in her pants. Across town, Bryn is getting ready for bed when Diana calls her all excited. "I have the best news! And an early wedding gift for you! And you're going to have to wait until after the break." And we're back. When we last left off, Diana called Bryn, all excited with big news. Bryn, in turn, gets very excited. "What is it?" Diana says, "Trendbenders, the super famous marketing agency that everyone knows about in Hallmark Town, wants to work with us. They love our website and want to discuss how we can become part of their group." Bryn is elated. "That's amazing. Diana says, now, I don't want to be a downer, but as we're getting more popular, I can't keep on going to these meetings alone. Rin's smile falls. I know. Thanks for your patience. I just need to find Scott at the right time to broach the subject. He's super skeptical about moving to LA and loves his antique shop. After the wedding will be a great time to talk to him. Rin and Diana get off the phone and Rin looks deflated at the thought of mentioning L.A. to Scott, and I don't blame her. Don't think that conversation's going to go real well.
Why can't they just pick up and move into a $1.2 million house 4 hours away? No big whoop.
No big whoop when somebody already has a physical business in the other. Yeah, totally makes sense. You know, he should just commute.
She has a virtual business. She is a brand and a brand ambassador, and trendsetters want her, Corinne.
And you know that you can't brand just anywhere, huh?
Yeah. Right, just like you can't write anywhere, yeah. You can't brand anywhere.
Exactly. The next day, we're at Brynn and Scott's wedding location on the giant deck atop a giant mountain. There are white chairs with floral touches, and the host of the show, Harvey Baring, is standing under a beautiful floral arbor introducing the couple's big day. However, it is, how do you say it? Pouring fucking buckets. The director and Tandy are freaking out. Harvey Baron's hair is in danger of melting, and this is not a good day for studio bigwig Nicole to be visiting. Tandy is used to Lily calling the shot, but since she told her to sleep in, now she's having to step into those shoes. At first, she's reluctant and tentative, but then she starts getting into her groove. She is doing it. Yay, Tandy! Tandy gets an announcement that the couple has decided to move their wedding inside. Thank fucking goodness. Jesus Christ, that took long enough. And Tandy lets everyone know that they're going to have to reset up and shoot. People start milling around, picking up chairs, etc., and Lily comes on set. Tandy lets her know that there's been a change of plans, and we cut to the next scene. Scott is in the gondola practicing his bows as he approaches the top of the hill. Once he gets off, he sees Brynn looking just gorgeous in the dress her followers picked out for her. He smiles warmly, and you can see that his boutonniere flower is a lily. Uh-huh. I thought that the groom wasn't supposed to see the bride before the wedding. She looks at him a bit nervously. Just checking in on you. Have you thought any more about moving to LA? This is definitely a great conversation to have before you're getting married. And I'm being serious there. Scott says, I have, but I'm not sure if it's the right thing for me or not. Brynn earnestly says, I understand your apprehensions, but we'd still be in California, and Pineville is only a couple of hours away. Scott has a look of sadness in his eyes. I get what you're saying, and I really want to support you, but I don't see myself moving from Pineville again. This is my home, and it's where my business is. It's where my heart is. It's where I hope that we can start our life together. But I'm beginning to see that my dreams and your dreams are very different. Brynn nods her head sadly and says, you're right. Scott continues, I love you so much, but I feel like our paths are pulling us in different directions. Brynn says, I know we can't force each other to be people who we aren't, and you shouldn't sacrifice your dreams, and I shouldn't sacrifice mine. They are both too close to our hearts. It wouldn't be fair to either of us. Scott says with a look of resignation, as uncomfortable as all of this has been for me, I'm thinking it was good that we ended up on the show. It forced us to talk about the big things, things we just hadn't thought about before. Brynn agrees. I was thinking the same thing. I guess this is it. Scott agrees. But I want you to know, you always have my support. My pom-poms are up for you and your journey. Go get them in LA. They both look at each other teary, but happy knowing that they made the right decision. You're the best, Scott. I will always cherish my time with you. Scott gives Brynn Tamara's favorite type of kiss. One on the forehead.
You are not my grandfather. Don't need a kiss on the forehead.
But I have to say, though, I really liked the scene, and I felt like Brynn totally did the right thing. Because if she was just going for the followers, what she would have done, she would have just gotten married. And then
Yeah.
Pushed for what she wanted later on, and she didn't do that. She instead stopped it before that happened.
Meanwhile, the wedding guests are seated, and the view outside is clouds. Not beautiful mountainous vistas, because it's raining fucking buckets. Still, they're happy to be dry and to be there for the big event. Lily gets on her walkie. Does anyone know where the bride and groom are? Just then, Nicole comes by. I brought a local news crew as well. Thought this would be great optics for the show. Lily laughs nervously. Great, Nicole. It's so nice to see you. Nicole barrels on. Before the wedding starts. You're going to be waiting a long time for that one, Nicole. I wanted to give you the good news. The network wants to give you a 2-year production deal. But Lily is distracted, looking at Scott, whispering in the Reverend's ear. No, 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 is going through her head. But wow, is what she says. Just then, the Reverend speaks up. I have an announcement. The wedding has been called off. Everyone is surprised, and Lily looks sympathetically over at Scott as the wedding guests all gasp and talk to each other in surprise. Bring it on home, Tam Tam.
Oof, fuck. Man, the next day, Tandy goes to Lily's hotel room to find out that she's been up all night drafting her letter of resignation. She just doesn't have it in her to do the show anymore. She wants to write. She did it once, but the first speed bump she hit, she ran to the safety net of reality TV. And now she's determined to stick it out and follow her dreams. Tandy muses about what's going to happen to her. Maybe I'll go to Machu Picchu. I've always wanted to go there. Lily smiles and says, you're not going anywhere, Tandy. I didn't want to steal Nicole's thunder, but you got the job if you want it. We talked last night and you've earned it. Now go make me proud. They hug, and when they pull away, Tandy says seriously, can I make one suggestion? Sure, Lily says, you're the boss now. So, she continues, when you're ready, will you please go talk to Scott? Lily smiles. Of course she will. Because what kind of Hallmark movie would it be if we just ended it there? Not a good one. Later, 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 Lily goes to Scott's antique store. He's there alone, and she explains that she left the show and is back from tying up all her loose ends in L.A. Wow, that must have been really tough, he says. And she agrees, but not as tough as what you went through with your breakup. I'm sorry. No, he says, it was for the best. Yeah, she agrees. And good thing you found out before the wedding. I mean, like, right before the wedding. Like, minutes. He smiles and asks, hey, do you want to go get something to eat? And she does. They go to their old spot. What's the name of the restaurant?
I don't know. We never named it, actually, in this.
I think I saw it in the front, but I didn't bother.
Yeah, I saw it on the front, too. They go to their... And I didn't bother.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's too far away. Yeah. It's too far away. I'm not writing it down. Yeah.
I'm glad we're on the same page there.
They go
they go to their favorite restaurant, the diner. That's what we call it. Yes.
They go to their old spot and reminisce about all the time they spent at their table and about their first date there, how she didn't stop talking, and how he was glad because he was so nervous that he didn't know what to say. It was a great night, they agree. And then inexplicably, they are outside. Did they eat? Did they skip the food? Did they just need a beautiful setting for the end of the movie? I'm guessing the latter. They go down a ramp and are creekside with hazy mountains and trees behind them. Lily apologizes again for ending things the way she did. I shouldn't have left you in New York like that, she says. You didn't, he argues. Even when you left, I always carried you in my heart. I just didn't want to admit that, even when I saw you again.
You mean there was only one set of footsteps?
Stop it, you're ruining my beautiful ending.
I'm sorry.
Hold on, let me reel it in. Well, she confesses softly, I thought about writing again, and I was thinking of doing it right here in Pineville. What do you think about that? He smiles. I think I want a different story, but one with a happy ending? Yeah? They move a little closer together. She whispers, yeah, I like that. And he gets big, bulging hearts in his eyes and says, yeah, I thought you would. And they kiss, and it's a good one.
Ooh, yeah, it is.
The hazy mountains behind them. And the end.
Oh.
Woo. Big bulging hearts in his eyes.
I know. I was like, oh, what's going on here? And then you're like, hearts in his eyes. I was like, oh, that was a little anticlimactic. Okay.
As it was meant to be. That kiss was really good.
That kiss was really good. Yeah, it's one of the top Hallmark kisses that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. What do you give this movie, Corinne?
Oh.
How many dry kisses?
I give this movie 3 dry kisses. Lovely to watch. It wasn't all that great, but it was not my one and only, which is a blessing in itself. Oh, sweet sassy molassy. You know that movie's okay on a first watch through, and then... Although I was talking with somebody, I was talking with them on Twitter. I said, but what I think is like a stinker, which is actually not as bad as it can go, but is my one and only. But I know that's popular with people. And she's like, oh, I love that movie. I just love how much people adore certain movies where I'm just like, what? And then I really like certain movies where there's a whole horde of people who are like, I don't like that at all. And I'm like, I mean, you don't have to like it as much as me, but it's not my one and only. It's not like bad.
Shaking my head confused.
So it was a perfectly fine, mildly enjoyable Hallmark movie that actually had 2 leads of color. Yay. And I found Mama P to be delightful. And then again, my husband Grover was in it as well. So, you know, 3 dry kisses. What about you?
Three dry kisses.
What do you rate this?
I am going to give it 3.5 dry kisses. That half a dry kiss. I completely agree with you on all fronts about your critique of the movie. It was a solidly okay movie.
Solidly okay.
I think Bryn was gorgeous, and I think Bryn needs to be a leading lady in a different movie. Mm-hmm. Like, she is captivating. The half a dry kiss that I'm giving it above yours is simply because they did not vilify Bryn in a way that made me feel cringy and bad.
Yeah.
So her and Scott exited on good terms at the end, and she wasn't the bitch on wheels that they sometimes make out the other woman to be. She didn't fall in love or have an emotional affair with somebody else and cross some lines. I liked the way that she kind of had exited, and it was an amicable split that I was actually okay with. And I appreciated that enough to give it a half another dry kiss.
They had a really good conversation, and the dissolution of their relationship was for like very real reasons.
I just wish they would have had it a little bit sooner.
Yes.
A little bit before they were about to walk down the aisle. Just saying. Just throwing it out there.
But you know what movie is better than solidly okay? Next week's movie that we are going to be watching.
Oh, yeah. That one's exciting. Love for Real.
Love for Real, which is a 2021 movie. Brand spanking new. And it's our last movie in September for the You Won Love series. But it creates a bridge into our October Chested series. So,
you know what makes Hallmark movies better? A little male nudity.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because we have already watched Love for Real. And when one of the main characters took off his shirt, I'm like, oh, I am so much more interested in what's going on now. Hello, Pex.
He does have a really hot bod. Were you there for my my birthday when I went to see High School Musical 2 or 3 with a bunch of people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's Corbin Bleu, who is in High School Musical movie that we saw.
Shut your face!
Yes.
Oh, my God, I feel so dirty now.
He's gotten older since then.
I know, but I'm like, I'm remembering the little High School Corbin Bleu, and I'm like, oh, bet that's Tamara. Back away. Back away.
If you have thoughts about Corbin Bleu or My One and Only or Love Take 2, feel free to write us at onedrykiss@gmail.com. And you can also reach out to us or follow us on the social medias on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Hurrah!
I got a little too excited there.
What are you doing, Jess? Jazz hands. It's jazz hands.
All under the One Dry Kiss name.
One spelled O-N-E. Not the number one. If you could rate and review us anywhere that you listen to your podcast, we appreciate the 5 stars. And we've gotten some really nice stellar reviews. We like more because it just boosts up our ego. And we need that right now.
And it also makes us easier to find.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Good, good. Yeah. No, it's not about us. It's just easier to find to make it easier on you. It's helping you find us, but you're already here, so you know where we're at.
But never you mind. Can always share. You can share us with other people because we're dirty like that.
Yep, my microphone's falling. We better end this. And we bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah! Mwah! Thank you for joining us.
Goodbye.
I remember the one time, the last time I believe I was in a wedding dress shop, I was shopping with a friend who was looking for prom dresses. So, you know, that's back in the day where you would kind of like go to that place to do that. And I tried on a dress a la Tia Carrere in Wayne's World, the red like form-fitting dress kind of with the fingerless white gloves that were.
Oh my God, how big was your hair? I'm so excited by this.
My hair wasn't big, but apparently my arms were because they wouldn't fit all the way into the gloves.
Oh, like, fuck that.
The dress fit like a second skin. And then I was like, oh, I can fit into it. Now I'm just about the gloves. Okay, they're not going up past my wrist. Fuck you, big bones. Fuck you. Okay. Stopping. Fuck. Fuck. Dang it. Sorry.